What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Declarations of War CSM 11 Roundtable. I am your host, Alexei of Card, joined today by co-host Celine.
Good evening.
And we're here with a smattering of CSM candidates, including a surprise last-minute addition. What's up, Utari Anzo?
Hey there, guys.
Apothny.
Hey.
Jintan.
I apologize in advance for my voice.
Kyle Aparthos.
How's it going, guys?
And Toxic Yakin.
Hey, what's up?
If you've listened to our previous debate, which if you haven't, I strongly suggest you have, the format will be very similar. We'll have a series of questions for the candidates. But before we get into that, we'd like to give each candidate an opportunity to introduce themselves. Utari, why don't you kick things off?
Okay. Obviously, I'm Utari Anzo. I'm a member of PTB and a Property Block candidate. My main platforms are in logistics and capitals, and I'm also a bit of a law and roleplay geek.
I put on my robe and wizard hat. A pot. Yep.
Never gets
hey,
old.
I'm Apothny. I'm currently a member of Sniggardly and Pandemic Legion. I know there's a ton of us running. I really like medium-sized fleet engagements, interesting game decisions. I do a bunch of stuff at the Alliance tournament, write for Crossing Zebras, and generally make an ass of myself across the interwebs.
I find it really fascinating that you like interesting game decisions as opposed to the boring ones. That's very unique.
I think boring decisions are just a lack of options.
I'm just busting your balls about it. Jintan.
I'm going to be here to represent alternative playstyles such as I'm intending to represent alternative playstyles such as NRDS and MPSI, and I come from Profit Block, specifically CVA in Pentag Blades.
Awesome. Kyle?
I am Kyle. I am a candidate from SMA, a combination, really weird combination actually, of diplomat, writer, and SOV analyst. Primarily here for sovereignty mechanics, structures, and a little bit of capitals.
All right. And Toxic?
Hi, I'm Toxic Yakin. I am part of Rabble Inc. and a larger part of A Few Good Men, a new alliance trying to take over some SOV for the first time. I am a high sec candidate. I'm interested in wars, ganking, anything really that has to do with high sec.
Awesome. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to come here. Let's get started with, at a really high level, what do you see as the primary role of the CSM? And we'll kick things off with Apothny.
So, in my opinion, the primary role of the CSM is a communication machine, a feedback machine. So it's this link between the player base and CCP, where CCP can take the CSM behind the devil and say, hey, we're thinking of doing this, what do you think of it? And at the same time, the CSM can listen to feedback from the players and say, hey, we need this CCP. The player base is saying this is good, this is bad, we want more of this, we want less of the other. So it's just a two-way feedback and communication machine that gets to be more direct and more deep than having 1,000 nerds shouting at you on the forums.
Jin?
I think it's really kind of hard to get a grasp on what the CSM currently is, at least from our standpoint as outsiders. I've talked to a couple of other current CSM members. I've talked to ex-CSM members, and they all seem to have a very slightly different flavour on it. But in general, I think what Apothny said is correct. It seems to be a way of almost getting a very specific demographic. Almost like a super, super focused group of people who know a lot about very specific parts of the game and to find out what they think the impacts of a change will be and to try and point out impacts where they don't think, where they might not have thought impacts would be. I can't think of good examples right now, but I've mentioned them before.
Alrighty. Kyle?
I'm actually definitely going to have to go with Apothny on this one. I think one of the things that has always fascinated me about the CSM is that it kind of works interestingly alongside focus groups to be a sort of, I don't really like to use the word NDA, even though it is NDA'd, but sort of a focus group that can be trusted with a little bit more information and one that can be a little bit more accurately counted upon to actually represent facets of the player base and what the player base actually wants, because there is that popularity contest element to it. So yeah, definitely going with what Apothony was saying on that.
Interesting. Toxic?
Yeah, I've always seen it as kind of a think tank. Players are going to give us ideas of what they want to see, and they're going to give us criticisms and feedback, but we really need to be able to present our opinions and be able to communicate not just with CCP, but with each other as well.
And you, Tari?
For the most part, I'd agree with what everyone said. I mean, that's ultimately the CMSM's main purpose, to be that point of contact and expert experience for changes. In terms of what it actually is, though, I think in some areas it's bloated, and in some areas it's sort of shrunk from possibly its main purpose, with a little bit of trying to be junior dev and push ideas to devs and stuff like that. And also, it feels lately the entire point of CSM has fallen apart, where with actual communication, you know, with changes getting shipped out regularly, big changes with absolutely no CSM feedback, at least according to our CSM representatives, and then you're having scalebacks being done after the fact rather than going to the experts and asking their opinion, you know, before you push it out to the players.
I think one of the biggest examples of that was what we saw with the null to null wormhole changes. I was listening I was reading back through some old thread stuff, and according to Corbex, they never actually got the numbers for that. They were just told the same thing that was in the dev blog, that it had been greatly reduced. And that's kind of a worrying thing, because there's a very difference between reducing something and doing it the way they did it, you know?
For those not in the know, do you want to go into a bit more detail about...
Sure. Effectively, it was nerfing the power projection that was enabled through randomly spawning wormholes that connected null systems to null systems. There's been a lot of like memeing on Reddit about it, but in general, it was, you know, it was brought up by the CSM and kind of debated with the devs, and they decided to do something about it, but they didn't ever finalize any specific numbers in that kind of discussion. And at the end of the day, a lot of specific wormhole candidates, specifically Corbex as well, thought that it had really negatively impacted their area of the game and were unhappy that CCP had bypassed him with the numbers. And I think that's a symptom of a system that's kind of a little out of balance just due to the rapid change schedule.
It's actually a really nice segue into the next question, which is, given these rapid release cycles, and, you know, CCP has largely improved their direct user communication, especially around large features, like you think about the communication plan for Citadels, for instance. Pretty transparent, very in advance. Same thing with the capital changes. Given all that, and I would especially like to also throw in, since you guys mentioned it directly, in the era where actual focus groups exist on specific areas of the game, how does the CSM need to adapt to fill a new role? And I want you to get specific on what steps you feel need to be taken or that you're personally going to take in the next term. And we can start with Jim.
That is a very, very big question, but it's one I think needs to be asked. In short, I don't think that the focus groups take the same role that CSM does. The focus groups are a very shotgun approach to feedback. They take people from all areas of the game on things that affect all areas of the game and kind of run them by every single thing and talk about every single case. And that means that there's a lot of signal-to-noise ratio between like actual genuine, like active, constructive feedback and just, please don't nerf this, you know, that kind of thing. I think the CSM's job is to be able to be there in person and really get down to the nitty-gritty with, you know, of actual game design with CCP, of what do we, you know, what do the players want to see in the game. There's kind of an overarching thing, like, do we want to see more or less power projection? Do we want to see more complexity in the game, or do we want to keep it where it is? I think that's a big area where CSM can kind of have an input without, you know, whereas focus groups might not be able to realistically do that, just because there's so many different players involved in it. But personally, what I'm going to try and do is I'm going to just basically do my best. I'm going to look at everything that they give us. I'm going to dissect it with everyone I can. And we're going to try and present, you know, as many differing opinions as we can, so that we can see where any change that's given can be applied to other areas and how it might impact other people's playstyles. You know, I'm very big on alternative playstyles, as you can tell from my platform. So, you know, I don't want complexity in the game to be removed for the purposes of balancing bigger things.
So, it's hard to really vocalize this properly, but I've always kind of viewed the focus groups themselves as more of groups established to focus on a relatively narrow bandwidth of issues. Obviously, with the Capitals focus group, we're talking right now, at least as far as anyone knows, specifically about the balancing of carriers and fax machines, so on and so forth. Whereas the CSM, to be honest, if it wants to adapt and survive, needs to fit into not the same narrow... what's the best word for it? Pigeonholing, most likely, as the focus groups are being applied to, and actually keep its focus on the broader brushstrokes of the game. In other words, how do all of these balance changes fit together with the broader game that's being produced? The capital changes group is going to be spectacular at actually identifying how to balance capitals against themselves, but for the purposes of actually figuring out how the hell to balance something as complicated as capital ships in with the rest of the game, I think that's really where you're going to see the CSM shining through. Is on that broader spectrum of ideas fitting together from the disparate focus groups.
Excellent. Toxic, why don't you jump in here?
Yeah, I think as far as focus groups go, I think they're really good for, you know, balancing and reviewing past implemented things. But I'm not sure if they would play as good of a role for new projects. I think that's more the role of the CSM is to see these new ideas coming out and kind of look at how they would affect the wider game, as Kyle was saying earlier. And yeah,
I think you cut out, mate.
Sorry. Yeah, I just think that the CSM needs to be focused on more broader topics rather than just these smaller rebalances, which I think would be better for people who have more experience. Because, I mean, a lot of past CSMs are very null heavy. So when you see changes that might come in on topics that are not as well known for some people who are, you know, upper level nullsec blocks, they may not have as much experience with those subjects. And it's better to have people who are better experts.
Yutari?
I think for the most part, I agree with everyone else. Focus groups, they're really good at having a big net of getting the general feel of, the wider community on how they feel about particular changes. I think, yeah, I agree with the sentiment that was presented about, using that more for balanced passes on existing changes, to get that wide feedback on how things have gone, how it could have been better and stuff like that. But the issue with focus groups is that you're inviting such a large amount of people, you're going to have a lot of voices that are not particularly useful, where they're just going to say, no, this, you know, reverse the nerf or do the nerf harder without really addressing how those changes, really affect the wider EVE population. Whereas CSM candidates are going to be able to focus in more on the issues. Like, they know, okay, these changes are coming and CCP wants to push them out. How can we do it in such a way that these changes are going to be better for the game as a whole? You know, rather than trying to fight simply, no, I don't want these nerfs, you know, because I personally don't want them. The whole point of a CSM candidate is that you was elected by a large number of people, so you kind of have to put, to a certain extent, your own personal opinion aside to look at the game as a player and think about all players collectively. The other advantage of the CSM is obviously with the NDA, we can look at the future projects and also, you know, present ideas of our own and things like that. That's something you can't really do with a focus group. I don't think they could ever go about, you know, presenting, this is a big idea that we want to go from a small inception to sort of fully fleshed out details that you can do with someone who's NDA'd. Whereas with a focus group where they might not be under that sort of agreement, or if even if they were, there's just too many eyes on the issue to be able to, you know, properly trust them and get good continued feedback from start to finish of concept. In terms of how I'd help, I do believe in focus groups. I do believe in roundtables, and they are something that I would like to, even if CCP isn't running them, if there's an issue coming up that I can potentially do a roundtable for my constituents for, it's something that I will look at doing, sort of the Corbeck style of CSM candidacy, you know, where they're not so much dealing with specifics, but saying, you know, they're looking at this particular area of the game, get on the TS, talk to me about your concerns, and I can present them to CCP.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump in here, because this is supposed to be a debate, but I just want to point out, this question is going to be incredibly dense and incredibly hard to kind of dig deep into. And despite the fact that it is the most important question facing the CSM this election season, it's really hard for us to have an accurate view of what needs to be changed. And I feel like that's the reason why we're seeing a lot of kind of, you know, candidates who are focusing almost entirely on reform, and perhaps rightly so, but it's very, very hard for people on the outside to look at the problems that an organization, which is by its nature quite, you know, not very open, and see what needs to be reformed, because they're all very subjective issues. They're things like communication and, you know, and trust issues. And, you know, that's why I think people this election season need to go for people who they think will be able to solve issues and do the normal things that CSM is intended to take care of.
Just to be frank and build off of what Jintan had already said, if I had a million ISK for every single person who has never been on the CSM, who sat down and told me how they personally would reform an NDA'd organization they've never been a part of, I would have 5 or 6 rags. Just saying.
Well, at the same time, there are enough ex-CSM out there and enough current CSM who have talked about the problems that the CSM has faced that, you know, I would hope a candidate running has some understanding of what the potential challenges might be and what sort of frustrations the current CSM has expressed.
I think come up with some kind of to see from the outside between what issues are caused by personal disagreements between CSM members and devs and what problems are fundamental. We've heard from current and ex-CSMs that some problems are caused by this person does not work well with this person, and therefore there is a problem in that relationship which affects the whole CSM. But there are also some issues that are fundamental and wrong. So from the outside, if you're listening to all these different viewpoints, it takes a lot of work to actually try and then go in and figure out, okay, was this issue because this person didn't get along with this person, or was this person because the CSM is in some way fundamentally not working correctly? So I think that's really difficult. And I think one of the things that the guys mentioned, you know, they talked a lot about focus groups, but at the start of the question you asked, you mentioned about how the change in release cycles and how the CSM has needed to adapt to that. And I think that's a really cool thing to talk about, because it used to be the case that we had an expansion every 6 months, and it would be a huge expansion with a ton of stuff in it, and the delta of, you know, change in Eve and how the meta would shift in ships and in playstyle and all that stuff would explode, and then it would start to settle and settle and settle and settle until the next expansion came out, and you have this next huge explosion of changes and new stuff and new learning about the game, and we solved the new challenges that CCP gave us, and that would go back down. In the 6 week release cycle, which we're in but about to leave, we've kind of got less of a huge explosion of changes, but it's more a constant state of flux. So it still bumps up every 6 week expansion, but we only really get to see the absolute short-term effects of any given expansion before the next expansion comes through and potentially changes that. So we really don't see the long-term effects until multiple changes have come through. So it's more important than ever for CSMs, I think, to be really, really on it in terms of keeping up with things on a day-to-day basis. Because, you know, if you're talking about just the part of the CSM job that is, okay, how is this most recent expansion affected players and what do we need to tell CCP now that we've got this and everyone's using it? They had one big change and they focused on those issues for 6 months, and then the next big expansion would come out and then you'd have a whole bunch of new issues. Now you've got issues from the last expansion, the expansion before, and the expansion for that, and you've got to really be on top of how these different things are interacting across multiple release cycles, more so than ever. But then moving on to the hybrid cycle, where we're getting the big expansions, like the new Citadel expansion coming out, as well as the six-week cycle. And you've got to look at, okay, how many of these problems are being delayed to be solved in the next big expansion? How many of these problems can we try and help solve in the next six-week expansion? How do we communicate that to the players? How do we work with CCP on that? So I think it's more important than ever to kind of have a good work ethic and kind of set of priorities and what you're working towards and where each thing you're trying to do falls and keeping on top of all the feedback you need to present and in what way you need to present it.
Yeah, I also think it's a kind of unfair thing to point at the amount of CSM members there have been and then say, can't you talk to every single one of these and you know, kind of figure out what the problem is? Because mainly because the problems have really arisen but with CSM 9 and CSM 10. And because CSM 10 was such an incumbent heavy season, we really don't have that many people to talk to. I think we have like, how many candidates is it total? Like 21? I can't tell you off the top of my head, but yeah, there's not that many people who've experienced these issues firsthand. And even amongst them, Fuzzy Steve really didn't see any issues from his initial perspective. Although he did get, you know, he did retract that on Tweetfleet quite publicly. There's, you know, it's both a subjective issue and one that's shared by a very, very small subsection of the EVE population. And most of those people are very busy, you know, being members of the CSM.
To be frank, it's also sorry, go ahead, Apothne.
I was just going to say, if you look at Minxie's comment, who was on CSM5, she was speaking to some of the issues brought up by CSM members. She said that while she cannot confirm personally, because CSM5 was 6 years ago or however many, she kind of said that what they're saying does gel with her personal experience. So even though obviously the institution has changed and the entire game has changed over the 6 years, there are some points that she really experienced for herself whilst she was on the CSM. So I think that it can't all, obviously, none of us are saying that, but it can't all be just the interpersonal relationships from CSM 10 or 9 or whatever. It's some mix of the two, and it's going to be really hard to disentangle that and how much of that does carry over to CSM 11, where the vast majority of people are not incumbents, or fresh faces, and how CCP react to that, how we, the new CSM, work with each other. It's going to be a really interesting, cool challenge, I think.
To be frank, definitely. I also find it very interesting how it almost seems like this uptick in difficulty with communication has coincided with the advent of the six-week release cycle back in, what was it, 2014-ish? Honestly, it almost sounds like a part of this could very easily be blamed on corporate inertia. It's a lot more difficult when you have 6 weeks to roll some changes out to get the CSM's feedback than 6 months to roll said changes out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, CCP is a big corporation. It's not really going to be in the CSM's direct power to change them. You might be able to argue or advocate for a change, but you can't force it. So I would love to know, Kyle, what you think. You know, what you think the CSM needs to do to adapt to that rapid change, or if you think it's something that CCP needs to do, how would you approach talking to them about it, persuading them?
First of all, I would tell CCP, I did tell several members of CCP, to cut it out with everything being based on the six-week release cycle and go back to a partial scheme of six-week release and partial scheme of larger half-year releases. They did that. That's awesome. So that's part one. Part two, rather than a specific CSM coordinator, I would have more happily put people who were actually in charge of these big changes, like, for instance, Fozzy, Guard, Logibro, etc., as the ones coordinating the CSM, rather than a specific person coordinating the CSM.
Logibro and Guard are community guys. They're not specifically game designers. Obviously, they have input, but that's not their prime focus in being in charge of changes.
Of course, but we also do know that even though they're community guys, they have focuses and roles within the company other than just coordinating the CSM. And
yeah, for sure. I just meant that when you said the people who are in charge of the big changes to the game being in charge of the groups, Logibro and Guard aren't really those people specifically. It's wonderful in all that they do.
Agreed, that was a slight misstep on words. What I was going for there was that I think it's, as much as I like Lilo as an individual, I think it's kind of a mistake to have someone who just does nothing but coordinate the CSM. or well, whatever she did else have she does, other we roles. Don't really know. I don't really know for sure.
Lilu was also in the community team, much like Guard, although obviously Guard is much more senior. And likewise,
Falcon
is in
the Russian community because she speaks Russian, so obviously that makes her a prime candidate for that, and there's some other stuff as well.
What is it? Only one who speaks fluent Russian, I believe it was?
In the community, maybe, but I know that a couple GMs speak Russian, obviously, and stuff like that. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think the original point that I'm attempting to get at and failing miserably at getting at is that I would rather see, if not necessarily people who directly oversee the projects, people who are a little more senior, such as, say, Guard or Logibro. For instance, I know that Logibro also does a bunch of shit with the Alliance Tournament, actually be responsible for coordinating the CSM, hopefully to fight that corporate inertia. I would get the feeling that having people who are a little more senior fighting it would help, but that's just
I'd really love to hear CCP Scarpia talk about the CSM. For those who don't know, he's the head of... You know how, like... Ryze and Fozzie are kind of like frontline devs on game design. CCP Scarpia is, I can't remember the official title, but it's something like lead game designer or something like that. So like he's in charge kind of, I think if I remember correct, he's like one step below Seagull, where Seagull's the executive producer of EVE Online. Like he's like the head game designer. So like he's kind of one of the people that really influence what changes are made to the game kind of from an overarching standpoint, as well as all the different teams that work on different projects. Like he's one of the guys that oversees that. So I'd love to hear from current and XCSMs how much how they've worked with him and how much his input was them, because he'd be one of those people, like as Kyle says, who would be really cool to have having really direct interaction with the CSM.
Agreed. All right, before we get on with this, Celine's got a question.
Yeah, here's something. I want to back us up a little bit to where we were talking about communication with CCP directly, you know, between CCP and the CSM. And one of the challenges that I think that the last iteration or a couple iterations of the CSM have in the future and the future CSMs are going to have is that before the advent of Slack and all these Slack channels that the devs now hang out in, there was, I think, a bit more of an opportunity for the CSM to have more of a direct impact on the devs, because when the CSM was initially formed, it was supposedly the place for the players and the devs to interact. A lot of people thought that it was also kind of a watchdog group or whatever, but it evolved over time. Then by CSM 6 and 7, they started having these group Skype channels and so on and so forth. But then after 8 and 9 and then getting into 10, all these different Slack groups go on. You can get on the TweetFeed Slack and you can interact with all kinds of devs all over the place. So my question is basically, how do you, as a CSM member, plan to make sure that your interactions with CCP are somehow a step above what they're doing now with the community as a whole, which they were not able or even allowed to do in the past?
If I may?
Yeah, go for it.
I think being in the Slack is great. As I said, it's similar to the focus groups. By getting that wide net opinion, you can get lots and lots of different opinions and takes on any given issue. And I mean, I'm on Slack quite regularly, and I actually interact well with an ISD guy and a Delegate Zero on lore and roleplay things on Slack quite regularly, within a little channel that we're a part of. But one of the things the CSM guys can do is they'll be much better at condensing all those opinions, and presenting a more coherent picture of wider community issues, because you can have lots of people saying in different ways basically the same thing in a lot of cases. And I think it's handy if CSMs can get themselves into that position where they can say, well, you know, condense that down, and present it alongside an expert opinion. I think as well, the other issue is that devs are possibly not as active on Slack as potential CSM candidates. They're going to have, you know, because devs obviously work. I mean, that's not saying we don't work and things like that. But I think possibly the CSMs need to portray themselves as maybe more active, so that people will be more inclined go to the CSM first.
That actually reminds me of something that Bothany brought up in his CSM Watch interview. You talked about maybe doing a blog or something, a la Sugar Kyle.
I actually got the idea from Xander. He did his week X of CSM on Crossing Zebras, and like, if I were to get elected, I totally plan to do a personal one of those. But to extend that idea, if we had every CSM, just put in a couple sentences to like this one thing each week on the new CSM website, that would be really, really cool, right? If you had each CSM say, I don't know, like Andy says, oh, I thought this week was really good because this, and then you have Sugar Cargo, oh, this week was kind of okay, but this bad thing happened. And obviously stuck within that NDA wall. And I know that the NDA is a thing that loads of people go, ah, NDA, stop bringing up the NDA. It's a bad excuse for things. But I can absolutely say from personal experience is that when you sign one, the relationship you have when talking to CC peers does change drastically. Because, so like when I went to Iceland to do the Alliance tournament, Alliance Tournament 12, first thing I did when I got in the office, I had to sign the NDA bit of paper, I won't share your company secrets, all that good stuff. Then we were hanging out in the cafeteria, and like different devs came up throughout the day to come and say hi. Some of them we knew before, some we didn't, came up to introduce themselves. And the first thing they asked, apart from one who forgot and then asked at the end, was, hey, have you signed the NDA yet? Because they all really wanted to share all these things and all these changes and all these things that they were working on, they were really passionate about. When you're talking to the average player, you don't have that in place. So they have to worry about, okay, what can I say and what can I not say? What can I hint? What can I not hint to? And it, having that NDA and allowing them to be more open with what they say and be less worried to an extent. Obviously, they can't tell you absolutely everything, like, I don't know, the PIN code to CCP bank account, but it really opens up the communication between the CCPer and the CSM delegate. Like, they love sharing as much as they can with the players, but they are able to. They have to be less worried about sharing more with the CSM. And I think that's a really powerful thing, even though people dislike talking about NDA stuff and NDA being a reason, but it's a thing for a reason, right? It really does change the nature of that relationship.
I think that's a great point. All right, guys, we're going to move on real quick. Let's talk specifically about the previous CSM for a second. They've had one of the rockier terms of recent memories. I think that's fair to say for everyone involved. What do you think was their biggest failing? But I also want to know what you thought they got right. And we can start off with Kyle here.
So while it's a little bit difficult to discuss specifically what their biggest failings and what their biggest successes might have been, because again, grr NDA, hate NDA, whatever. I get the feeling, and it's hard to really vocalize this, I get the feeling that their biggest failing might have actually been that some of the CSM candidates, and this was actually discussed quite extensively on Tweetfleet Slack between some of us last night, I get the feeling that some of the biggest issues they might have had was that some of the CSM members seemed unwilling to stand up and actually address the problems at large. Even though I think it was actually Mittens himself who came onto Slack and dropped that little bomb in there, he did make a very good point, which was that I think it was Corbex confirmed that roughly a third to a half of the CSM were willing to stand up and say, these are the big fucking issues that we're having as a CSM, what can we do about them, and the other half wanted to pretend that they didn't exist. While I can't confirm that being true, obviously, the evidence seems to be there, and if that does wind up being true, I would say that the biggest success and the biggest failing of the CSM is the success of some of those CSMs bringing that to light, and the failure of other CSMs to actually properly weigh in on it. But again, if that actually turns out to be true, we can't really say for certain yet. I get the feeling it is, though, personally.
Toxic.
Well, I think the biggest failings for the CSM last term was just there's been a lot of bad blood between some candidates. Say, I know Gorski Carr, very specifically. He's got a very nice little threat. Well, he's got basically all Reddit on his side, and it's been pretty entertaining to watch that whole thing unfold between the Imperium and him. But just a lot of the infighting between CSM members has kind of been difficult to watch. As far as successes, I mean, even recently, I think they've been doing a very good job at presenting the problems that have been coming up from the community and saying, like, you know, they're the new release for the cameras and saying, you know, this is pretty much unusable, and kind of coming back and getting the fix. Like, it all happened up within a week or two. It's like the camera came out. They went to the they went to the summit and they had a fix come out a couple days later, and I think that was a good showing of, you know, CSM members going out and making sure that these big changes happen that need to happen.
Yutari?
I'd say the biggest thing I'd agree is obviously the infighting between CSM candidates. But I'd also say it appears to be as there's a large amount of a breakdown in trust between CCP and CSM. I think there's a breakdown in trust in CCP with the CSM to trust them with early concept projects, you know, and actually go through and address changes to them. Hence why we're seeing a lot of releases coming out with no prior CSM input until they come out, and then having the backscales when really a lot of these issues might have been fixed, like, for example, the NullSec wormhole changes, by talking to the experts first. And I think it's become painfully more obvious from CSM 10, that breakdown in the relationship there. And then vice versa, there's a bit of a breakdown in trust with CSM members, certain CSM members especially, with CCP being able to fix the changes, you know, and going through and saying what needs to happen in terms of the relationship and trusting CCP to actually do something about it. I think trust is the most critical issue here and something that needs to be addressed going into the new CSM, which is why personally, I mean, even if I don't get in, I'm actually really happy there's a lot of fresh faces coming in rather than the same candidates year on year. So hopefully there's a good chance for that reset button on the relationship between CSM and CCP. Obviously, then the other sort of stuff that's been discussed, I sort of agree with regards to certain CSM candidates are being more vocal than others. I mean, you're elected to do a job. You really should be weighing in on these issues. And if you're not, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, go for it, Jim. Yeah, I'd just like to weigh in on what you said just there about a lot of fresh faces coming in. I've got to say it's been actually really nice to see the amount of people who are already discussing things, just like almost already getting that kind of, you know, constructive or, you know, and critical, bringing critical eye to things that are already in the game as prospective CSM members. I think, you know, looking at people's analysis or you know, or what they're talking about on Tweetfly and how active they are socially is a good indicator of how sociable and how well adjusted a candidate is going to be. And I think that's going to be very important in this upcoming CSM, as we're going to have to, you know, as Yutari said, we're going to have to bridge a lot of gaps in trust that have opened up over the years. We've got to.
I have a question about that. Believe me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously we've got to, you know, we've got to help reform the CSM in some way. We've got to open up communication. And if you're going to be someone who's deliberately non-communicative or very competitive, that's not going to inspire a lot of communication.
Yeah, that's actually how Jintan just raised up the issue a lot. Something that might be said of the failing of the CSM, there's been a bit of talk of the CSM being pointless, useless. Why does anyone bother? Well, if you're looking at the amount of new candidates, new fresh faces that are going for CSM, I mean, there's still very big interest in the CSM. So to say that the CSM's dead, useless, pointless is, well, it's not just blatantly wrong. It's obviously the complete opposite. There's more interest in the CSM now, probably because of the mess. Like, more people wanting to input their opinion and do something positive about it, because there's not many games out there that has that level of connection between the players and the devs. So, you know, where something might be addressed as a failure of the CSM, that, you know, why should we even bother? Well, the facts on the ground are saying that people want to bother. They care about it. And it is good to see that. And I'd say tentatively that's possibly leading on to where I was going to talk about successes, where at least with those that have been vocal about what needs to happen, what needs to change, in a sense, this bad blood has been a good thing. We can use it as a way to move on, and the community is invigorated now in the CSM, you know. And we just need to keep that momentum going so that we can introduce positive reforms.
All right. I'm going to cut you off because we're running on time. I want to get Apothe in here.
So the only real thing I'd want to add to this discussion is a thing I've heard from a couple current and ex-CSMs is how some CSMs treat working with CCP. It's obviously, well, I might say it's not true across all CSMs, and some CSMs may just get it wrong very occasionally, but we are in a game where a lot of the time in a lot of organizations, we treat each other really horribly on a day-to-day basis. Like Kyle before the show was telling us how much of an asshole Imperium guys can be each other. I'm in PL, and I don't think I need to say much more about how we treat each other. But when you're on the CSM and you're discussing with other CSM members, and when you're discussing with CCP devs, you can't just take the same language and the same conduct you use with your alliance mates to people who are literally doing their job. People whose income depends, like, you cannot just be an ass to people and expect them to take you seriously because you're the head of your alliance, or because you're the best FC in the past 5 years of the game, or whatever, right? You can't make a hostile work environment. You can't just call someone an asshole for when you're disagreeing with them. You really have to treat each other with a certain level of respect and kindness that we necessarily don't treat each other in game with. And I think that as an online community, even outside EVE Online, the internet is a very mean, horrible place. And banter is fun and good, and I enjoy it, and I wouldn't impose no one's allowed to swear across EVE Online, like, that's dumb. But I think that when you go onto the CSM and you're working with CCP and you're in that role doing that job, you have a certain requirement for a level of personal conduct where you're not an ass, you listen to people even if you disagree with them, and you try to help and understand. You don't just fight. And I think that the fighting is something that really tires out a lot of CSMs and CCPs, and it kind of burns them out. And I think that that is a big reason across all sides of the thing why there's been so many problems. And it's just how to treat each other on a basic human level.
I think that's a great lead into my next official question, which I just want to read out so everyone's on the same page. You know, the relationship between CCP and the CSM is like one of your key weapons, right? You can use that relationship to cut through red tape, to give your high signal feedback to them, to guide and persuade in a way that normal players just can't. But if it's not working, then you don't have that tool. So Apathy laid out what he would do. I think that's perfect. I would love to know what the other candidates think needs to specifically happen to repair that relationship and move forward. Like, you can't just go, okay, fresh start. What are you going to do to rehabilitate the image of the CSM to CCP and sort of make that fresh start actually happen? And we can throw that out to whoever wants to start.
I'll start.
All right.
Well, first things first is, obviously we've already addressed there's a lot more fresh faces coming in. With having, I think Steve's running again. Yeah, who else is running again? I think it's just Steve off the top of my head.
I think he is the only incumbent that I'm aware of that's running again.
There was one more. I'll go check the thread.
Gorski?
Yeah, if we could check that.
Gorski.
Oh, and Gorski as well. Yeah, I completely forgot about him with all the drama that came out on Reddit. But yeah, so, well, even if they both get in, for the most part, the CSM is going to be first-timers, you know, who haven't been on the CSM before. So it helps having a lot of fresh faces. They're not going to be carrying the baggage of the previous CSM so much. But in terms of what we need to do, and specifically me coming in, is sort of sit down and not bring any of our own personal baggage and experiences with us. You know, when you enter the CSM, you kind of have to stop being your block membership. You know, you can't go in. So, you know, you can campaign saying, I am Provi Block candidate, I am a Imperium candidate. But when you come before CSM, that needs to go out the window. You're just a NullSec candidate, you know? And wherever your loyalty is, you've got to represent every NullSec player. You can't just think of just the Imperium players or just the Provi Block players or just the test players. You know, you've got to be willing to sort of stand up and say to CCP, you know, I'm just a player. I am a consumer and a customer as well. And I want to represent all consumers and customers and not just my particular tribe. Obviously saying sort of like, with the face-to-face meetings and language that was brought up as well, I fully agree with that. We got to use professional language whilst we're working together. It's no good spitting out a dummy. We can disagree. We will disagree. There's no facing that. We're not going to get on and agree with everything, but there's ways of disagreeing without insulting each other. and maintaining certain levels of behavior is going to be the most important aspect there, as well as obviously ditching your baggage at the door.
Kyle?
I'm actually going to have to agree with entirely with Utari on this one. I think the two most important traits that we can possibly have going into this are, first of all, professionalism, which Utari outlined perfectly in what he said just now. And second of all, an actual willingness to be proactive and a willingness to step up. It's impossible to say for certain, as I keep emphasizing, but one thing that I've noticed a lot of the CSMs of this last term sort of either addressing directly or hinting at is the idea that most of the, well, I shouldn't say most, but a significant number of the issues they've been having with communication could have been partially addressed by CSMs rather than just sitting around waiting for something to happen, actually being proactive and stepping up and saying, hey, the last time you talked in the channel was 2 weeks ago, what gives? And there is, once again, as Utari said, a way to do that without being an absolute dick to each other. To put it in very blunt terms, it's possible to be both professional and proactive in this case.
Toxic, I'd love to know your thoughts here.
Well, for me, I have to agree with what Utari and Kyle were both saying. And for me, I want to focus on not just people who are going to come out to tweet Slack and try and send mails to us, emails. Like for me personally, I want to go and find those people who are also just maybe not as aware of the CSM and its function and, you know, talk to people who are kind of outside this community that's more of a meta community. Like me personally, I'm trying to talk to like at least 3 corps a day in HiSec because HiSec is probably the largest base of players that just doesn't really proactively vote and participate in the CSM.
Yeah, I believe HiSec is like 70% of the player base, and it's less than like about 10 to 20% of the vote or something. Ridiculous. I've actually really been fascinated. I'd love to see voter demographics for EVE, by the way. That's one of the first things I'll ask for, regardless of if I get it or not.
I think that's it'd be very by interesting. Character. I'd be really interested to know what those demographics are for alts of players. Like, I wouldn't consider myself a HiSec player, but I have a couple of alts that live and do stuff in HiSec exclusively.
Yeah, I'm curious about that too, because 70% seems really, really high just for like people all just living in HiSec. So I assume that a lot of them are alts, but it's still a very large player base.
Yeah, but it's also they're in HiSec largely because they are more casual. They're not really interested in putting up with the daily struggles and stress of low or wormholes or 0-0.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's entirely accurate 100% of the time.
Yeah, I think there
are plenty of casual players in null and low organizations, and there are plenty of HiSec players that are very engaged and active and are really big on what they do in the game.
I think those percentages are fairly reversed. And I think that's fairly representative of how voting has been since the CSM has ever existed. The null, low sec, and wormhole players are always more engaged. There's enough support in high sec that votes to get like one candidate, maybe two. But it's rare, like with their total numbers, you would expect a lot more.
I mean, one of the things I'd love to hear, and I know he's not running for CSM this year, but Celine, you've kind of got, I guess, what would be a very interesting perspective on CSM-CCP relationships, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on the relationship stuff we talked about earlier.
Which one specifically?
How the CSM and CCP interact on a personal level?
Well, that was kind of the reason that I asked the question about Slack earlier, which is that I was still working there when this thing began, and I'm not sure, I can't remember which one of you made the comment with regard to the fact of wondering why there was a specific person that was their sole job was to kind of run the CSM and be in charge of it. And I can't really speak for how CCP views it, you know, today, but when this thing started, there was one person, and that was X-Hagen, and he literally created it from nothing. He wrote the white paper. He willed it into being along with the internal affairs department. And over the years, it kind of has changed from this thing where the devs 7-8 years ago were extremely gun shy about talking to players, interacting on the forums, and you know, much less actually discussing current game idea, game design ideas. And I'm not going to say that the CSM has moved to a point, or has, you know, there's, as you said, there's people who say, oh, it's useless, it's that. I totally disagree. I think that the CSM is one of the prime factors that has changed dramatically the way that CCP interacts with the their customers as a whole, by providing a group of players that they knew by signing an NDA that they could more or less trust to interact with and get feedback from. And that has continued to evolve over time. The thing that I find most interesting is that the CSM has not been phased out, considering the fact that CCP Exhagen is gone from CCP, that we've gone through, I believe, 3 different lead game designers in the past 4 years, and we've gone through 3 executive producers in the past 3 or 4 years as well. We've about the only person that is still at CCP when this process started is Hilmar. And the fact that the CSM continues to still be something that CCP puts, I mean, time and money. I mean, they have to pay people to do this. They have to pay someone to set up the web pages to do the voting and everything else. I think that it is still very relevant. And I think that the fact that they are still continuing to support it and making it, something that they do discuss openly, even if it's only just as a marketing point from some of their minds. I think that CCP Seagull values the input, and that it's not a wasted effort on the part of either CCP or the players. And I would like to think that because of the fact that there are so many new people on this next CSM, I don't think that is a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination, because we saw over the course of a few years what happens whenever you have the same people getting elected over and over again. And I think that does stump the, I think that does stump the process some, because especially the newer people coming in don't think that, no, I'm not going to say that name. I think that it kind of causes issues with some of the newer people. So it will be interesting to see what this next CSM is able to do compared to what CSM 10 was or was not able to do, you know, depending upon what your opinion was.
I'd actually like to bring something up, just talking about the new faces. Celine, do you think that it would be worthwhile to have a lengthier and more, not in person, but, you know, a more personal kind of handoff within the CSM, or to kind of...
Oh, it's been tried.
Oh, okay.
It's been tried. So the first time that this happened, I believe, was at the end of CSM 5. And Nixie, who was the chairman of CSM 5, and was actually... I mean, well, I think she did a stellar job. And there were a couple of other ones, Deidre Val and a few others. They actually put the time into creating a fairly extensive handoff document for CSM 6. When CSM 6 came on board, we were able to use that, plus, you know, just various other things to kind of hit the ground running. I know that this has happened a couple of other times in subsequent CSMs as well. So it's really up to the members to decide, you know, how much they want to do or, you know, not do for their successors. And that's most likely entirely dependent upon how passionate the members feel, whether they feel, okay, CCP has wronged us, so we need to let the new guys coming in know this is what you need to look out for, or, hey, this worked really well, you guys need to keep doing this. It's entirely incumbent upon the CSM members to establish that thing. Now, I don't know if Lilu, how close of a hand she takes in that sort of guidance, but I know that Exhagen was very hands-on with regards to facilitating things like that. He would, you know, encourage that sort of thing if it came up, but it was also made very apparent from the get-go that the CSM is what the CSM members make of it. It will succeed or fail based upon the effort and the dedication and the honesty of the CSM members.
Yep, I'd have to agree with that. Both times I've been on the CSM, I felt the distinct feeling that that was the case. If you have members that, you know, don't really have work ethic or leadership, then, you know, not a ton will get done. Likewise, if you have people that don't value the relationship or are ineffective communicators, you'll have a hard time getting things done. On the flip side, if you've got strong leadership and, you know, members that are willing to work and put in the time and put in the effort, and in CSM7's case, being willing to spend literal sleepless nights putting things together at a really high level of quality and getting every word perfect for presentation to CCP to get them to do really important things, you know, then you can do some amazing things. But ultimately, it's what the people that get elected are the CSM. Like, they don't, like, just come in and then magically get superpowers. We're only as good as the people we send there and how hard they're willing to work.
See, these podcasts should not be CSM candidates running. It should be people like you and Celine doing these podcasts, because I find them far more interesting than listening to us witter on about something we don't have any experience in.
Well, you should come on for one of our regular episodes. It'd be great. Yeah.
There's a lot of this kind of stuff on just even the regular episodes, but it might not be a bad idea, Alec, to round up Trevor and a few of the other older CSMs and have kind of a round table like that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I would happily tune into that. That sounds great.
I'm not sure how CSM alumni episode. I'm not sure how inspiring or depressing such an episode might be, but it would definitely be entertaining.
Oh, to be frank, I've spoken with half of the current CSM asking them for advice about my impending CSM run, and about, I'd say, half of the people I've spoken to have told me that I should sooner jump out a window. So that was inspiring.
I've been described that Eve is a game for masochists, but apparently I take the biscuit.
Oh, it's definitely a game for masochists. There's no doubt about that. CSM is like ultra masochist, though.
About the CSM and put any work into it, you will not leave the term unchanged.
So I just want to draw attention, and Alec can link this in the podcast notes. The link I just made in the bottom of TS, that CSM logo was designed by Trevor Dado back in, I believe it was the beginning of CSM 6, and maybe it was 7, but he was on 4 CSMs. Eventually, he was the chairman of CSM 8, and that is by far exactly how it goes. You start with the big smiley face, and then you think you're cool, and you're like, oh, wait. And then it just, that is a very accurate depiction of how your view of things is going to happen should you get elected. It's not all bad, but you're definitely going to hit the facepalmy moments. There's no doubt about it from time to time.
And then there's a reason a fair number of people wind up not being as active in EVE after they get off the CSM. It'll take a lot out of you, there's no lie.
Even if you manage to accomplish, you know, any of the stuff that you ran on that you wanted to see done, even if you're successful, it is a lot of work. And I think that is definitely something that people totally don't get. It is a lot of work. And if you put a solid year into the CSM, much less a couple of years in the CSM, you're going to be burned out of the game as a whole for a little bit. I mean, I think about one of the only people I've ever seen be on the CSM and not take a hit to their gameplay time was Elise Randolph. I don't know how he did it.
He's a one-of-a-kind dude. All right. And I will extend to any of you guys, whether you make it on or not, you're absolutely welcome to guest host on a show in the future. I'd love to have you guys on Declarations of War to talk about current events and stuff, and to ask questions about the CSM, especially if you get on.
Sounds pretty fun.
I think anyone who's willing to be a CSM candidate is pretty much open to talking about anything in the game for about 2 to 7 hours at a time. So, like, literally, if you need anyone, just, like, look at the list of people who who turned up to these podcasts and just go, that guy looks like he might know something about this area in the game. Chances are he'll probably spend about 8 hours discussing every little detail and how it affects him and or her and how they like it, how they don't like it. That's what makes a CSM candidate. We're, the peak levels of nerdiness about this game, most of us.
Or to be more direct, the peak level of just willingness to completely talk your ear off for multiple hours at a time.
Right. All right, guys. We got one more question to go, and then we're going to close this up. I would love to know, what statement or position from another candidate on the panel did you disagree with most strongly, and why? It's too much love in the room.
Can we rule out Vic Jefferson here?
Yep.
And specifically on this panel, Jin. On this panel.
Oh. I was going to agree with Jin, too, and Vic Jefferson.
Let's start off with Toxic.
Oh, I'm going to take Vic Jefferson, then I'm going to take it before anyone else gets a chance. Just his position that,
yeah. We don't have Vic Jefferson on the panel. Throw some balls.
I got to pick someone else.
You got to pick someone in here, I believe, friend.
What was something said in the past hour that we've spent together that you disagreed with most strongly?
I can take over if you're thinking, Toxic.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Go for it.
Take a fucking radical opinion here, and I'm going to suggest that divesting yourself entirely from tribalism within the game is not the correct way to do it. I think that for the vast majority of the time, it's completely correct. However, we have to understand that different groups have different playstyles. And that's not just me saying, oh yeah, CVA is NRDS, woohoo, we're the best, or something like that. I mean, how Pandemic Legion plays the game is inherently going to be very different to the way, even Pandemic Horde play the game. But especially, groups like Darkness or how a group like Legion of Death would play the game. So I don't think it's entirely fair to look at things from a completely divested opinion, because if it's going to destroy someone else's gameplay or your gameplay in particular, that's not right, even if that's, even if that might be the entirely neutral thing to neutral way to look at it. And I don't think, and at the end of the day, I don't think that's possible anyway. You're always going to be in contact more commonly with people who are within your group, so you're going to be talking about the little things that affect your group anyway. That's
fair point.
The end of the rant on that.
It's being self-aware of the bias, I think, is the main
yes.
thing. So, like, yeah. When I play the game, I know a bunch about FCing gangs of sizes 15 to 45. I know a bunch about, I don't know, like being able to talk about the Alliance tournament. I know a bunch about, a bunch of different areas. And when I go into CCP CSM meetings, assuming I get on, I should know that I know about these things. I should know that I am not the world authority on those things, because no one's the world authority on anything in EVE Online. And also that my thoughts on other topics are going to be colored by that, but don't make them irrelevant. And it's about respecting everyone else's opinion, but also respecting your own opinion.
All right, Apathy. So speaking of other people's opinions, what have you disagreed with most strongly in the podcast today?
I really don't know. I think, broadly speaking, you've managed to assemble a group of very similar-minded people. And while we phrase different ideas in a certain way, we're all kind of trying to get towards the same point in our own way, which I think is kind of what the CSM is, right? So you've got a bunch of people from different experience all trying to work towards making whatever new game mechanic or whatever new design idea CCP are trying to put forward through. And Jintan says right in chat, Circle Jerk, the podcast.
That seems like I did a better job yesterday. We had a lot of interesting but respectful disagreement. So what I'm getting from Jin is that, or in Apathy, is that we should absolutely all vote Toxic Yakin as our first vote, and don't
yes.
bother with the other guys. They can be in slots 2, 3, 4. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
thanks, bros.
So who are you completely missing off the list then? Because we've got 5 people here.
Kyle, what about you? What was something said today that you strongly disagree with?
So this is going to be super meta because, by and large, I'm a consensus builder, but actually one of the... Oh, good God, you can hear my Slack going off in the background. One of the things that I actually primarily disagreed about was what Utari said about not being overtly Jesus Christ Slack stop.
You gotta learn how to turn off notifications.
Turn off your cell phone during meetings, Kyle.
The funny thing is, it's these Tweetfleets, it's these fuckers messaging me on Tweetfleet Slack while we're doing this. They're trying to sabotage my fucking platform. I'm watching you, Jin. But what I'm attempting to say is one of the only things I really disagreed with was Utari's statement about being confrontational. I'm going to have to disagree and say, while I definitely agree with him on saying that you shouldn't be a dick, I think there is a point where deliberate, proactive confrontationalism, even though it's not actually a word, is necessary and perhaps even proper. And that there may be times where some people might have to be able to step up and call the other CSMs or even CCP out on some piece of bullshit, and that it's better to actually be deliberately confrontational in that scenario. Which, super ironic considering, by and large, I'm a consensus builder and kind of a pansy, but whatever.
Utari, do you want to respond and also give the thing that you disagree with most?
I'd say confrontation only works to a certain extent. We have to be real here. We are an elected body of players. Right? We're not politicians. We're players in the game. And being confrontational can be useful to a certain extent if we're unhappy with changes with CCP. But on the other hand, we have to respect the fact that we literally only exist because the company wants to deal with us, you know? So, if there's an issue that vastly negatively affects the player base, I'd be willing to say, yeah, sometimes you're going to have to get the pitchforks out. But we're supposed to be at a level where we're perhaps above that and can be a bit more positive in terms of our feedback. I'm not saying we have to be really nice to CCP all the time. You can still give negative feedback. You just don't always need to dig out the pitchforks. And I think it's probably not the CSM's job to be whipping that sort of thing up. In terms of the biggest thing that I've disagreed with tonight, this one's a hard one, actually, because I suppose the big ones have already been addressed.
Do you want to jerk to the right instead of the left? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Would you prefer a slow stroke or real fast and hard?
It'd have to be slow. It's got to be slow.
Right. Okay.
That's going to be a quote somewhere.
Please tell me we're editing that out.
Absolutely not. Toxic.
Yeah, I got something now. Okay. So I think it was Kyle who said it earlier and saying that, you know, well, building off of the tribalism idea is, what? Are you speaking Russian, Kyle? Come on. To build off what was said earlier, I feel that even though, you know, we shouldn't be vying to make it so that our ideas for our gameplay should be pushed forward. I feel like if you're representing a certain playstyle or a certain tribe, you are going to push those ideas forward. And it's an important part of it is that, you know, the people who you're representing want you to represent their ideas and their thoughts. And part of that is pushing ideas like that.
All right, great. Well, thank you guys for coming. This was a really awesome discussion. And I think everyone out there got to know you guys a little better. And I really hope the best for each of you in your campaigns. You had some interviews for the CSM Watch. Those are going to be linked if anyone is curious. I'm also going to put your campaign threads in as well. All this stuff will be in the show notes. So please go check that out. If you guys out there have not listened to our other panel, please, please do so. It was fantastic. We had Idaiti, Aerith, Commander Aze, and Diana Olympos on the panel, and it was a terrific discussion. So if you like this show, go check that one out as well. And if you were watching that show and then you decided, like, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to check out this show, thank you very much for tuning in to all of Declarations for CSM coverage. We'd like to do something a little different from the other podcasts and get all the candidates together to talk. And we get really great discussions like this. So thank you for supporting the CSM. Thank you for supporting our show. Go out and vote. Get your friends and court mates to vote. Very important.
Yeah, even if you're not going to vote for anyone on this podcast, just vote. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, vote for the people who you think are going to do the best job. I don't care if it's not me. I don't care if it's not anyone else in this call. I don't care if it's someone who I disagree with so vehemently that I'll post on the forums about it. The most important thing is that you're involved in the political process to make this game better.
Yep, and I want to emphasize to everyone out there, if you're going to vote, which I strongly encourage you to do, try to convince your court mates that it's a good idea as well, and tell them about the candidates that you support. Because the only way that we're going to get the ideal CSM is if we maximize voter turnout. And that's not something, I mean, it is something CCP could do stuff about, it is something the CSM can do about, but actually the person with the most power to do stuff is you. Because if every voter turned around and got their best friend in corp to go vote too, then we'd have double the voters than we did last year. So please go and do that. And as always, good hunting, listeners. Peace out.
Criticism, I built my own. From the bottom, I've gotten myself in my own zone. Never stopping, I made